Geek Juice. This is episode 2. I'm Alex Jowski. Tonight we've got Kevin.
Hi.
Tom Bad Guy.
You.
And Charlie McMullen.
Indeed.
Before we get started, anything anybody wanted to talk about?
The Old Republic is still awesome.
And Skyrim freezes, because fuck Bethesda, that's why.
Does it freeze as bad as Fallout does?
No. Well, which Fallout? Because Fallout New Vegas was, like, worse than Fallout 3.
That's because it's Obsidian, and they don't know how to hire a QA department worth anything. However, they're pretty good story writers.
So. Well, I haven't played Old Republic, but I did see a commercial for it before I came over here, and lightsabers are looking a lot more like sex toys than they used to.
I always felt they kind of looked like sex toys.
Well, yeah, they always kind of did, but now it's like they're not even trying to hide it.
I thought they always looked like popsicles.
Well, popsicles also look like sex toys.
Popsicles are sex toys? Or?
Well, they certainly can be used thusly.
I watched Mega Fault the other day, which I posted a review for on the site.
Shameless plug?
Shameless plug, yes.
GeekJuiceMedia.com. Head on over.
That movie was a chore to watch.
Like, doing the laundry or, like, spring cleaning?
I wish.
Like, having sex with a hateful wife you wish was dead.
That's not a chore.
So, every time you had sex with your ex-wife?
You're like, this is just like Megafall.
Alright, let's get started on our first topic.
No, I want to go back to Megafall 6.
You know he's going to just say, read the review.
Well, I don't talk about Megafall sex in the review.
Well, you should. What you talk about right now, this will be the exclusive Megafall sex content.
Show me on the doll where he Megafaulted you.
I Megafaulted your mother.
Alright, we're ready to move into our first topic tonight.
Yes.
The thing I wanted to introduce here was Yahoo Answers, which I started using because I was researching, different ways you can promote your site. And it's like, answer questions on Yahoo Answers. So I started doing that recently, and everybody that uses Yahoo Answers is an idiot.
This is the first I'm learning of Yahoo Answers. I didn't even know what this was until now.
Okay, because I only do the movie section. And they ask questions. I don't see any of them right now, but, here's one. Where can I watch Quest for Camelot for free? And a bunch of these people asking, where can I watch all of these movies for free or streaming without ads, or where can I download this? It's because of people like this that we have legislation like SOPA and Protect IP, because these idiots can't keep an underground in the friggin' underground.
Well, there's one here that says, which movies should I watch? How does somebody answer that for somebody else?
It's just that question. There's no...
No, there is no follow-up.
It's just pick a movie for me to watch.
It says, which movie should I watch?
Friends with Benefits, Rise of the Planet Apes, 13, or Fast 5. Which would you recommend?
I say neither of, like, none of those, and then just watch The Warriors.
Yes.
Without knowing who asked the question, though. I don't know how you can answer that.
This person asked, I just read a rumor that Joseph Gordon-Levitt might replace Bale as Batman in Dark Knight Rises. Dark Knight Rises was already shot. They already have that prologue out.
Plus, that's not a question.
And that guy is actually playing the character John Burke in that movie.
And who is John Burke?
I just read him the other day in my Batman encyclopedia. I can't remember. Shows all that money going to that encyclopedia was worth it.
Yeah, it's something for you to do.
Actually, let me go research it right now.
And this person asked, where can I watch free movies online? I don't want to have to sign up for anything or need a credit card or take a survey. I just want to find a movie and click play.
How about you get a job, pay for some Netflix, and then watch whatever you want?
Oh, that's how I always answer those.
Redbox is $1. Does your DVD player have a play button? You could push that.
I ate it because I'm poor.
There's another one. Where can I download movies?
You need a debit card. That's where they get you.
Okay, never mind.
The answer are always the, I need a title for a movie. Like this person asked, I'm trying to remember a 90s horror movie. Had a devil demon in it that was trying to persuade someone named Swan. He refers to a Swanee to commit evil deeds.
The Muppets.
The Care Bears too.
There's a not
far off the plot of that.
Oh, not John Burke, John Blake.
All right,
I'm still drawing a Blake on John Blake. What?
Patience. I'm about to find it. I just read the other... He's like a detective that, like... I think he was, let's see... Nope, he's not in here. He's just some random guy.
Huh.
I was thinking about somebody else. Let me see what the MDiv says. A hard-nosed young Gotham beat cop.
Oh, so he's just...
Officer Blake.
Officer Sean Paul Serpico, or Joseph Gordon Serpico.
Oh, he's like... I guess he's like the detective, I guess, trying to help Batman take down Bane in that movie.
I'm sure he'll be fine. He's a good actor.
He's a good actor. I recently watched 50-50.
Isn't he nominated for a Golden Globe for that?
If not, he should be, because I like Joseph Gordon-Levitt. I liked him on Third Rock from the Sun, and I like him now.
How was
50-50? 50-50 was surprisingly good. I mean, Seth Rogen was doing the same thing that he always does, but like...
Oh, his usual, I'm going to smoke a lot of pot and be goofy.
Be Seth Rogen.
Even in Paul, it was just like, he's an alien, but he smokes weed and he acts like Seth Rogen. Okay.
He was Howard the Duck with big eyes.
Or this question on Yahoo Answers. I am bored. Think of a good setting for a story. Like, that's your question. I'm bored.
Your mama's bedroom.
I am actually going to type that right now.
Yeah.
You should say...
No, we're going to type this in now. Fade in, your mother's bedroom.
Fade in, your mother's bedroom. There we go.
Okay. I enter, my shirt askew, having just fixed the drain in the basement. This is going to be a good movie. I would watch this.
You've got my attention, because I have no idea where this is going now.
Okay, what else we got? Your mother offers me a perspiring glass of cold lemonade.
Cold lemonade.
Hold on. And you should say, I never knew a 63-year-old woman could be so nimble with lemonade.
I ask her coyly, are those teeth really necessary?
Are those teeth really necessary?
There we go.
You are posting this, right?
Yes, you're posting this on Yahoo Answer. Marcus Voss is the one who asked this question. This poor bastard.
He's getting trolled on radio. This is great.
Is that good enough?
And then later in the scene, I ask her, that quilt wasn't an heirloom, was it?
Later in the scene, I ask, that quilt wasn't an heirloom, was it?
Boom. I would watch this.
Oh, yeah.
I noticed my name was stitched into it.
I noticed my name was stitched into it. Oh, what should it? It says, what's your source? I'm just going to put last night.
And we have just turned someone completely off of Yahoo Answers for the rest of their life.
That's good. We don't need people using Yahoo Answers.
How do you just go to browse categories and just look at this, or what?
Yeah, browse categories. Entertainment and music. Movies.
Believe it or not, my wife actually tries to be helpful on Yahoo Answers.
So do I most of the time, except for this moment.
Not tonight.
Or those people that are like, where can I download something for free? And I'm like, learn to pay. Learn to buy a movie.
Oh, here's one. I have a female family member whose boyfriend / baby father is gay. I tell her, but she won't believe me.
It's really the Jerry Springer show for the internet. I mean...
Oh, there's this one. Don't you wish that you were a kid with fairly odd parents? Nope, I don't.
Do atheists call Christmas Xmas? Should I say no, we call it Sunday?
Yeah, they call it Sunday.
That works for this year.
They call it that one day where you can't find anything good on TV.
Every time I see those Keep the Christ and Christmas things, I keep wanting to respond with Keep the Thor and Thursday.
I am underwater. Sorry, I was fixing a drain in the basement.
This person's question was I only a hookup buddy to him, or did he like me more? And then it's like 1, 2, 3 giant paragraphs that
how,
I'm not going to read.
How the hell are we supposed to answer these without any research?
So are my sins and Hitler's sins considered to be equal in the eye of God?
Did somebody ask that?
Yes.
How many Jews have they killed?
Oh, it doesn't say, unfortunately.
This person says, I hate my best friend? Question mark.
I hate my best friend?
I know?
I'm Ron Burgundy?
Why are atheists so mean to ugly people?
Because they're f***ing ugly.
Well, because there's no consequences to an atheist, because there's no heaven or hell, so they don't have to worry about any of the actions they do in life.
So this person that may hate their best friend is talking about how she hangs out with guys. She kisses them, lets her grab her, it's 4-star, so it must be the C word.
I don't know, if they're pluralized tit, then that's 4.
She's 14 and tells me she wants to lose her virginity. Oh, she must live in this town.
Yeah, sounds about right.
I got the, am I a lesbian? I'm going to put, no, rabbits can't choose.
What you should say is, come over to my place, I'll help you find out.
There's a Yahoo answer.
Right? That's as typical responses I see.
Interesting.
Do guys like it when a girl tells them they smell good?
As opposed to being told we smell like ass?
All right.
Some might settle for just them saying something to them, so. Does Jesus care who wins a random football game?
Well, as long as Tebow's playing.
Or Notre Dame. And Here are the answers. Jesus doesn't play favorites.
Oh, right, but he does.
This question.
He hates Marion Barber, I'll say that.
Then guys, it says, no due to his dead status.
This question. Do guys like when a girl tells them they smell good? To which I have now answered. If she's going down on me and says I smell good, I start to get concerned.
Well, that means I'm doing it right, because before a woman goes down on me, I eat a lot of potpourri.
Well, if you dab your genitals with perfume.
Tainted by Calvin Klein.
Oh, I like this. I'm not going to read the whole question. How do I tell my boyfriend I'm not gay?
Is that from a girl or a guy?
Dude, I think.
Do it through a limerick. Or a riddle, perhaps.
Yes, call his penis gross.
I put, sex will convince him.
Not anal sex.
But yeah, it's all like 13-year-old kids that don't know anything.
Yeah, I don't know why you guys have such a problem with Yahoo Answers. This is the most fun I've had in
years. Yeah, no shit.
Let's have babies. What does he mean by this?
Well, see, when the sperm goes up the canal, it makes contact with the egg.
See, there's these birds and the bees. What you should really do is just really random answer.
It means he wants a miniature human being to rip your vagina in twain.
I'm going to put...
Possibly damaging your taint in the process.
Taint worth it, in fact.
What if you're walking down the street and you bumped into somebody, and instead of him getting pissed at you saying, you better watch your back, he's like, you better watch your taint. Like, would you sit there and, like, look confused, or would you, like, at the same moment, like, try to look at it?
I'd probably check my taint, but, like...
Yeah.
Okay, so this, let's have babies. What does he mean by this? I'm 16, and I start talking to this guy that wants to have babies with me. Somebody had answered, it means he wants to have sex with you. And then somebody randomly answered this. Just asking, but does the band have a song name that you might want to check it out and make sure it doesn't have a song named that? If not, he's most likely playing around. And then ours, it means he wants a miniature human to rip your vagina in twain.
By which I mean Mark Twain.
Or Samuel Clemens if you're feeling nasty.
Why are my ex-girlfriend's nipples always erect?
Sorry about that.
Because it's December.
Seriously,
I like a little THO.
Star Wars Episode 2.
Every time I talk to her, they stay erect 5 centimeters out of her top. Like, he's measuring.
Hold up, I gotta pull a ruler out.
5 centimeters. I think I saw her on this National Geographic special.
All right, this is like a question, like...
That's massive.
I don't know if it's talking diameter or length. I don't know.
Any remedies for telling sex of baby chicks? Do you have a remedy for that?
This person asks, guys, emergency middle school relationship advice. And I didn't read the rest of their question other than to say, you are in middle school.
Thank you for some logic.
I had a relationship with my Sega Genesis when I was in middle school. That's all you need.
Sega Genesis was a dirty bitch. Maybe plug in all those attachments and everything. God, you have to use 3 AV outlets just to make it happy.
She liked toys. She never could get enough. Insatiable.
Every single time we do it, she said...
But then I have to say, for middle school kids, they're pretty damn verbose with a lot of these. It's just paragraphs. What do you think this means? This girl and I, blah, 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 I don't care.
Well, I gotta tell you guys, I've made quite a discovery here today. I don't think I'm ever gonna be bored ever again.
There's a wealth of content on Yahoo Answers.
Yeah.
It is. Can Undertaker tombstone large and heavy dudes?
What?
Is that one of Tom's Tom Sykes' translations again?
I was wondering, Undertaker can actually lift up big guy like Yokozuna, Big Show, The General, 400...
Oh, wrestling.
...plus guy and tombstone them. Can he do it if he wanted to?
No, only if he's forced to.
No one ever really wants to. He has to.
Yeah.
My dad is 71 and just showed me this pic of his new girlfriend. What should I say to him? Well, let's take a look at this picture.
Is it funny that I accidentally pasted a circumcision rant on a girl's Facebook conversation?
No, this picture is of a woman who has had so much plastic surgery, she looks like Harley Quinn out of makeup.
I'm going to say, congratulations, Dad. Are you going to share?
Pass the love. Spread the love.
What's your source? I know this woman. Of course, I put congratulations, Dad. Let me edit that.
That's filthy.
Thing of a Nintendo.
So Alex can neither spell nor math.
Yeah.
What do I do with my son? This better be PG. I think this might offend some people. Okay, I'm not reading.
No, I think I'm gonna read this as the asker of the question.
I just had the theme from Taboo 2 playing in my head again.
I know this might offend some people, but I was brought up to understand that there is no reason behind being gay. Homosexuality just does not make sense. and I don't think anyone should condone it any more than pedophile.
Wow.
So this morning, my son came to me and told me he was gay. It took the breath right out of me. Okay, first of all, how did he tell you?
Yeah, give us details.
Because if he...
Yeah, pass the waffle, I like to have sex with
men. I can see why it took the breath out of you. I was speechless for about 5 minutes straight, through and straight, until...
I see what you did there.
Yes.
Wordplay. Until I told him that I would have to talk to him after work. So I went to work and could not focus. So everyone at Jiffy Lube that day... They just got regular Octane when they should have got premium. All the while thinking about what I would do to fix him. I got home and told him that I was glad he told me he was gay, as now I don't have to shelter a gay man. I took all his things, threw them in the middle of the street, and asked him politely to leave the house. But when he refused, I had no choice, and I had to pick him up and throw him out.
Huh.
He's actually quite big, so we got into a bit of a fight, and I ended up punching him in the face and knocking him out for a while. I think he made it to one of his friend's houses, but I'm not really sure. He is having gay sex there now. I just threw that in. That wasn't really that. I think I did the right thing, as he will never learn otherwise. But I really don't know what to do at this point. I just don't want any gay people in my house.
And other than me, of course, and the anonymous gay sex partners I have.
Oh, it gets better. And I really thought I loved my son, but I guess he'd rather have dick than his dad. Any advice? Okay, I'm going to have to put some thought into this one. We got to answer this question.
You should put, we're pro-dad on this one. We're pro-dad, anti-dick.
Well, he's obviously closeted homosexual.
Okay, first of all, let me link a picture of a rainbow. Yeah. Definitely link a double rainbow if you can.
Hey, we don't want to blow his mind too much, right?
Coming out of an anus, if possible.
Okay. I'm sure Alex has that lying around
that,
somewhere.
That there is a lot of evidence to support the theory that homosexuality is genetic.
So, do we go from geek juice to troll juice?
Yes.
Maybe.
For this portion.
It's all juice.
There's a lot of evidence somewhere? To support the theory that homosexuality is genetic.
In all honesty, this guy sounds like a closeted homosexual, likes his gay sex on the DL, like this dude to go to the bathrooms.
What's your source?
And where it says, what is your source? Say, the amount of time you spend grooming your forearm hair.
So I'm looking at one, it says, I need some hardcore pickup lines, and the one we got here, the answer is, you're gonna wish you had bought flood insurance.
I have a note from my doctor, but my mom still won't let me stay home.
What a bitch.
For the pickup line, my favorite one has always been, was your father an astronaut? Because I've got an erection.
Oh, so that one about the, my dad is 71 and showed me this pic. Somebody put, this is BS.
Helpful.
And their avatar looks like a gay Hamburglar.
It does.
That's redundant.
Does he have money? If so, she's a gold digger. There's only a small chance she likes him.
I ain't saying she's a gold digger, but she ain't messing with no...
Bro.
Oh, what do I do with my son got answered by 4 other people? You're a troll, is what somebody said. For saying that, you will never have kids. But he said he had a kid.
That was the whole point of the story, in
he
fact.
He answered the wrong question.
And the rest are just honest. You're doing the wrong thing. He's your son. You should love him. Which I agree with, but...
Well, yeah, I agree with that because I'm not an asshole.
Well, I think we're all assholes, but not about that.
Well, yeah, I'm not that kind of asshole.
That's a specific breed of asshole.
The kind with a penis in it.
The one about the, how do I tell my boyfriend I'm not gay, that we answered sex will convince him. Everyone answered, tell him exactly how you told us here. Be honest. I'm like,
Yes, via website.
Yeah. She's going to come with a keyboard, plug it in.
Send him a Facebook message.
There you go. Oh, my God.
Sorry, I'm not gay. You're going to have to accept me the way God made me.
You can't accept the fact that I'm straight.
I am bored. Make up a character. What have we got here?
Oh, here we go.
Nothing.
Nope, I think we put a fork in that one. No one's answered since then.
/ thread, plus one internet.
Oh, wait. Somebody had said, tisk tisk rainbow dash, because that's my avatar.
Rainbow Dash is awesome.
Rainbow Dash is writing porn.
Yahoo Answers is awesome. We're going to bash on this?
I know, this is fantastic. This is going to keep me entertained for the rest of my life.
What are good movies similar to Titanic? Any movie that is similar to Titanic is not good.
Titanic 2, those wonderful animated Titanic movies with the rapping dog. Throw a Serbian film at him.
Oh, yes.
Oh, no.
Or sallow.
Actually, there are a lot of similarities between Titanic and Kundun.
Throw the August Underground series at him.
Well, here's what I hate about looking up a Serbian film on IMDb.
You have to look up a Serbian film on IMDb? That's what I would hate about it.
No, is that it's not called a Serbian film. It's called a Serbian film in Serbian. So unless you speak Serbian, you can't type in the title.
And nobody really does.
There's a question saying, I had sex with two different men 19 hours apart. Which man's semen will reach the egg first?
The one with the darker hair.
I don't think there's any way to tell. I think you're probably just going to have to accept which one.
I think she'll have to look at the photo finish at the end.
And then accuse both of them of being baby's daddy and try to extort money out of both of them. Poor.
But he said, please, details in the movie Finding Forrester. Please, it'll be very helpful. I am answering this. You're the man now, dog, is all you need to know.
Punch the keys, for God's sake.
Strike the key!
I took the bell out of that 15 years ago.
I've actually never seen the movie.
Oh, it's fantastic.
I
love that movie.
It speaks to the basketball/writer inside me.
What is the name of this movie I saw on Sci-Fi? It was on two nights ago. It's about a boy who has cancer, and him and his mother move closer to the hospital. That sounds like Sci-Fi. But they
like Lifetime. House,
that was a funeral home, and it was haunted. Yeah. Oh.
The answer is, if...
I have a great idea for a Sci-Fi movie. What do you think? Not gonna read, just gonna put it sucks.
Vampire cancer.
That sounds like some of Alex's reviews.
I'm going to read this. It takes place in the future in Washington, D.C. There is a new special team in the police force called Psy-Cops, who stops crimes before they are committed. Oh, that's Minority Report.
Yeah, it is.
I was going to say Babylon 5 with the Psych Corps and everything.
I was just thinking that sounds like a great buddy cop TV show.
Yeah. The tagline is, I know what you're thinking.
And you get like, it's like The Odd Couple, but with cops. But they can read each other's minds. Yeah.
So they're just staring at each other?
Yeah, there's no dialogue.
Yeah, there's no dialogue. They're just staring.
Oh, if only Dennis Hopper were still alive, that'd be perfect for him.
What is the name of a movie about a guy with some kind of brain disease?
Joe versus the Volcano?
Anything starring Nick Swardson.
Any suggestions of period movies? Well, there was that...
I don't want to see anything about periods.
Well, anything by Penny Marshall is by a woman on her period.
What about that movie Up?
Speaking of period movies, My Girl is how I learned that women have periods and what they are.
Was that horrific for you? That sounds like it would be a terrifying experience.
Having Jamie Lee Curtis explain it to me, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Were you, like, pausing it, rewinding it, because you didn't get it, like, the first time you heard it?
No, I had to go and ask my mom, I'm like, does this really happen? Or is this just the movie being a movie?
That's just movie periods.
Real life periods, much worse.
Periods are so Hollywood.
Periods are so mainstream.
It's all some sellout.
Yeah. Alright, seems like it's time to take a break now. We'll be right back. Looks like Tom had to step out for the rest of the night, but now we've got Josh Hadley with us to discuss our next topic, which Charlie brought.
This would be regarding the corrupt, slanted by greed practices of the Motion Picture Association of America.
And we brought Josh Hadley in now because he certainly has a lot to say about that as well.
And you guys beat me to it. This was a future Radiodrome topic, so I'm a little mad at you guys for getting to this before I did.
You can consider this research, Josh.
But now it's going to look like I ripped you off.
Actually, I think your episode will probably air before ours. I don't know.
No, because ours won't air for at least another month or so.
Gotta steal smart.
Exactly. But if you're gonna steal, you might as well steal from the best, right?
See?
Yeah.
No, I've had my encounters with the MPAA. I used to write for a fanzine called Death at Work back in the 90s, and I wrote a huge, long article titled The MPAA or Modern Nazism. It was that filled with venom towards the MPAA.
That sounds about right.
That was in the 90s, so things hadn't even gotten as bad as they have today.
I don't know. I mean, there's a lot to be, there's a lot of evidence that says it might have been worse in the 90s than it is now.
It depends. It depends. You have cases like, have any of you ever seen the movie Hardware? It's a brilliant 1990 film by Richard Stanley, written and directed by him, just butchered by the MPAA. Submitted over 10 times before they would give it an R rating. And everything that they had to be cut out were just little snippets. Little hints of violence, and there was at one point a sex scene where it looked like the woman was enjoying herself too much. They demanded that cut.
Well, see, that's a weird thing. It looked like the woman was enjoying herself too much.
Yeah, God forbid a female orgasm happened.
Exactly. The MPAA is mostly made up of very small, pricked, older men.
Well, in fact, that that documentary,
this film is not yet rated.
It discussed that had the director of Boys Don't Cry.
Yes, Kimberly Pierce.
Yeah, and she discussed how she had the scene with Chloe Sevigny's character. The MPAA felt that her orgasm went on too long.
Well, Chloe Sevigny is kind of a special case, because you guys remember Brown Bunny?
Yeah.
The controversy surrounding that. So, I mean, they might have thought it was real, which has no place in mainstream cinema.
Well, there's a Miami Vice episode. Did you ever see the one with Melanie Griffith on Miami Vice back in 86? She was dating... Don Johnson at the time, and Dick Wolf says there was no acting involved in that love scene. They set up the cameras, and then everyone left.
God damn, back then they shot on film. That had to be expensive.
Well, a show like Miami Vice, that was like $1.5 million an episode back in the 80s. That was the king of expensive.
$1.5 million an episode?
$1.5 million an episode for Miami Vice. Hill Street Blues was $1.2 million an episode and shot on film as well. So adjust that for inflation, and you've got that's more expensive than a TV show today would be given per episode. Even some garbage like Friends or Seinfeld, where the whole cast makes $5 million an episode.
That's like 12 Toxic Avengers put together.
Toxic Avenger wasn't even $500,000. That was like 350,000.
Somewhere around there. The worst case I've ever heard about was in it was Kaufman's first book. All I know about filmmaking, I learned from the Toxic Avenger, where he's talking about Troma's War.
Troma's War, yep.
Yeah, his big beef was that the MPAA was basing their whether or not they're going to give him the R on the quality of the movie. And Kaufman's beef was as soon as they start commenting on the quality of the movie, they've lost their objectivity, and they can't, because all they need to do is say whether or not it's appropriate for an R-rated audience.
Well, it's the same thing with, you ever wonder how, I can't remember which Friday the 13th, I think it was Jason Goes to Hell came out right around the same time as Saving Private Ryan, yet Saving Private Ryan easily gets an R rating, where Jason Goes to Hell had to cut a ton of scenes to get an R rating.
I think that was Jason X.
Nah, Jason X was 2000, and Saving Private Ryan I thought was 98.
I'm thinking Jason Goes to Hell was before Private Ryan.
Private Ryan was 98, so Jason Goes to Hell would have been right around in that era, like 96, 97.
Yeah, maybe right. Yeah.
Saving Private Ryan was given a pass for an NC-17 because it had, quote, historical and contextual value. In other words, all the violence added to the feel of the movie, where a slasher movie, it's just exploitation. Again, they were rating the quality of the film as how they used violence, not the violence itself.
One thing I've heard a huge complaint with the MPAA is, when a movie is rated, one is not allowed to cite precedents when arguing for a lower rating. Because if somebody says, well, Saving Private Ryan had more violence than my movie, which you've given an NC-17, MPAA's opinion is R rating is what R rating is.
Well, and then you also have to look at, they don't tell you what to cut. They slap the NC-17 on, and they give it back to you, and they say you can cut and resubmit. And they don't tell you. You could end up cutting scenes that they were not objecting to whatsoever that hurt the overall flow of the film.
What was it Matt Stone was saying? He was talking about when he worked on Orgasmo, they wouldn't tell him anything about what to cut when they came back. But when they were doing the South Park movie, they gave him a very specific list of what they had to change because they were working with a major studio at that time.
And even more specific with Team America.
Well, that's because the studios were given preferential treatment. Look at an independent film that has, you know, arguably the exact same sex scene that a studio film does. The independent film always gets the NC-17. The studio film, they're a lot quicker to give it an R for the exact same level of graphic nudity.
From what I understand, isn't the MPAA kind of in the pocket of those big studios?
There's no kind of about it. There's no kind of about it. They don't even pretend that they're not anymore.
Having work for a studio is a requirement to be on the MPAA.
Really?
Yeah. Like, that's one of your qualifications that you have to have.
Well, I have this quote here from Lloyd Kaufman, and he's talking about how the MPAA has preferential treatment towards studios and are a very anti-indie film. And he says, Disney's Scary Movie gets an R rating with a penis going through someone's head and with male ejaculant spewing gobs on a female, but Troma is forced to cut out a shot of me dressed in a suit and tie eating a taco in terror firmer.
Well, what's the context of the taco? What does it represent?
Well, he's making the point that...
Yeah.
Well, and then you also have to remember, when a film gets screened for the Motion Picture Association of America, it's not free. You have to pay to have them watch your film. So they give it an NC-17. You cut some more. You have to pay to make them watch it again. It's in their financial best interest to make you resubmit your film multiple times.
All the while not telling you why it's an NC-17.
Right. So that way you'll submit as many times as you can to get that much needed R rating. I want to see a major director, come out of a studio today with something written in his contract that he gets final cut of the film. And I want him to go, you know what? We're not even submitting it to the MPAA. We're releasing this film unrated, and we're taking whatever lumps we get from it. I don't care if that means we can't advertise. I don't care if that means theaters won't carry it. That I'm saying, screw the MPAA. That's what I want to see a major director, someone like Fincher, or Oliver Stone before he went insane. He might have done that.
You know,
somebody like that, I want to see do that.
Peter Jackson would do that.
I don't know. He's pretty much in the pocket. Because New Line is a studio. They are not an independent. And he pretty much does anything New Line tells him at this point. So Peter Jackson, he doesn't have any independent spirit left.
Meet the Feebles, Peter Jackson might have done.
Yeah, that Peter Jackson would have. Today's Peter Jackson that's producing The Adventures of Tintin would not.
That's right. God damn it.
Yeah, he's now making huge $400 million films with Spielberg. These people are making so much money. They will never endanger that. That's why you have people like Lloyd Kaufman and Richard Stanley and these independent directors being the only ones that are willing to stand up and say, you know what, MPAA, I'm sick of you. I'm done with you. They're the only ones that are willing to do that because basically, they've got nothing left to lose.
I don't know. I think the problem is getting theaters to carry either unrated or an NC-17 movie.
The stigma associated with
NC-17. I know, because theaters are owned by studios now. And
right.
I thought that antitrust laws would have taken care of that, but it still happens. I mean, Sony...
Antitrust laws don't mean anything. Okay, in Green Bay, where I live right outside of Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Two sets, so four of the six TV stations... are owned by the same people. One company owns the CW affiliate and the Fox affiliate, and another one owns the My Network and the NBC affiliate. By antitrust laws, that's illegal. Yet they always seem to find some loophole that allows them to do things like that.
More often than not, the loophole is that Rupert Murdoch is still alive.
Yeah, well, we'll see how much longer that works out. But the thing about piracy, did you guys just see, as we're recording this, that the RIAA, these are the people that are suing $3.2 million of 12-year-old girls because they downloaded some Lady Gaga songs.
Yeah.
One of the biggest BitTorrent trackers has found that people from the offices of the RIAA are BitTorrenting Dexter episodes online.
Oh.
Yeah, like at work, too. It's pretty amusing. I saw that article on MSNBC.
Yeah, so see, I'm not
database.
Making that up. You guys can tell. Yeah. I'm not making that up.
It was on a major news site I was reading.
It's funny.
Yeah, like, I wouldn't be surprised if some of the MPAA screeners who are never named, you don't know who they are.
I know, it's clandestine.
If they or their kids were torrenting movies like crazy.
But think about it like this. Would they have to? Most of them get to take home the screeners. So a film that's not even got a release date yet, mom's bringing home a copy to watch tonight, and, you know, Junior and Mrs. get to watch with her. So they get to see this stuff. They don't really need to BitTorrent this stuff.
And they get to see the screener...
full versions.
Yeah, before they're butchered to shreds in an attempt to get an R rating.
Okay, here's a movie that Jowski just brought up, But I'm a Cheerleader. That took a huge beating from the MP.
Because it was about a lesbian.
I know, because it...
And it's an independent film.
Right.
Well, do you guys know an interesting little bit of trivia? Do you know what the first movie to ever be given an NC-17 was? Predator 2.
Oh, yeah, Predator
really?
2.
Really?
They ended up cutting the film for an R because they were contractually obligated by 20th Century Fox to do so, but that was the first film to ever be awarded an NC-17 for gore.
Huh. It does have some, even in the cut version, has some, for the time, pretty good gore stuff.
It also has
right, so Governor's Day. Predator 2 was the first, I think Kids was the first film ever released with an NC-17, I believe.
Did Showgirls come out before Kids?
Oh, it was after.
Was it after?
Yeah, I think Kids was like 91 or 2, somewhere in there. Showgirls was 95.
Yeah.
Because yeah, I remember I was...
Showgirls was way down the line. That just might be the most famous one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Showgirls might be... I mean, I may be wrong about this. The only studio film distributed with an NC-17.
But it was not theatrically. Theatrically, it was released with the R. They only put the NC-17 version on video.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, NC-17 and unrated were right there next to each other.
Which also begs the question, I mean, we're a bunch of guys. You see NC-17 and R-rated right next to each other. Are you ever going to rent the goddamn R-rated version?
No.
Well, no, of course not.
So why even have that option? Why even have the option then?
It's like you're going to rent Last Tango in Paris. You want this version which has a giant lamp superimposed over Marlon Brando's ass?
Well, considering I don't really want to see Marlon Brando's ass, maybe.
It's it's the significance, Josh.
I know what you were getting at, but it was just not a good example.
Well, the thing with getting the R-rated versus the NC-17, you know for a fact, given the MPAA, that the NC-17 version is most likely closer to the director's vision of that film.
Because why would they hand it in otherwise?
Because in a lot of cases, you wouldn't believe how many times when you get a director 20 years after the fact talking about a film, they say, I was not happy with that film, or in some cases, they did not even have control over the editing. Like Albert Pinn, the guy that made the 1990 Captain America and Radioactive Dreams and Mean Guns and that,
yeah.
He has never been involved in the editing of any of his films. He turns the film in, and then they say, thank you, don't let the door hit you. So he has no control over what ends up finally on the screen.
That's true. I was reading this interview with Walter Hill. It was kind of similar with that when he was done with the Warriors.
That it was just turn it in? And...
Yeah, he just turned it in. It wasn't until years later where he got to cut a director's cut version.
And see, years later, I don't think they should be doing that, because 9 times out of 10, if the film is any kind of a good movie, the original version is going to be ingrained in the audience's head, and they're not going to accept the new version, even if it's technically a better or more artistic version.
Well, the thing with when you get to director's cuts, reading an article about George Romero, and he did his theatrical cut for Dawn of the Dead. And then in the 90s, when Laserdisc started coming out, and you would get these special editions with all the features, and they would add new scenes, they ended up coming out with a director's cut that edited in a bunch of stuff. Romero came out and said, that's not the director's vision, that's just what they're calling it.
Well, a great example would be Alien, that re-released director's cut they had 2 or 3 years ago. Ridley Scott is on record saying the theatrical version is his preferred cut of the film, yet they still call this new version, which is not his version of the film, the director's cut, when it's all it is putting all the deleted scenes back in for no apparent reason.
Well, and so many of the guidelines are just arbitrary, because it reminded me of the first and only Laserdisc I ever watched. It was From Dusk Till Dawn. The blood couldn't be red, it had to be green. That's the most retarded thing I've ever heard.
Look at that House of the Dead game when they released it in the United States.
Tarantino ran into that with Kill Bill, the one sequence where it goes black and white.
Yeah.
That originally got him an NC-17. All he did is change it from color to black and white, and then no other cuts were made, and he got an R for that, because the blood not being red. Same thing happened in Star Trek VI, when all the Klingons are being massacred on the Bird of Prey. The Klingon battle cruiser, sorry. All of a sudden, they had to go in and color tint all their blood to be purple, because they got an R rating for violence. Because the blood was red, they CGI'd purple blood onto it, and then all of a sudden they get their PG.
It's just retarded.
Now, there was something here. Okay, Lloyd Kaufman, when he did Troma's War, and I think it was Troma's War, is the one where it was given an NC-17. So he took a bunch of stuff out to get an R, and then he put it back in and still released it with an R rating.
The repercussion from that was the MPAA sued him for copyright infringement because they own the letter R in a little box.
There is one case John Carpenter screwed the MPAA and never got taken to task for it with Assault on Precinct 13.
Specifically, it was the little girl.
Yep, the little girl eating the ice cream cone. They made him remove that, so he removed it, submitted it, got the R, and then put it back in, and then his version's the one that got released to theaters and with the R rating on it. So technically, all the versions you've seen of Assault on Precinct 13 are actually X-rated.
Yeah, because it was X at that time.
Yep.
Well, and then look at Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer. That was released unrated in 86 because it sat on the shelf for a few years. That was released after the fact. The MPAA... God, that's a tongue twister. The Motion Picture Association of America said no amount of cuts will lower this under an X. Because of the overall moral tone of the movie, there's nothing you can cut that will make it R-rated.
It's not their job to determine what's moral and what is not.
Well, Reanimator. Great example of Reanimator. They released it unrated, they submitted it for an R, and after they made it everything the MPAA was asking, and the movie was only 40 minutes long. So they just said, screw it, put it all back in and it's unrated. You know, over half the movie's gone after we make the required cuts to get an R.
Well, I think because of the severed head, when it was performing oral sex, the orgasm went on too long, I think.
Pretty sure she didn't have an orgasm when she was screaming and kicking at it.
Well, it's because her heart really wasn't in it.
Well, it gives a new meaning to giving head. But it's just, their guidelines are so arbitrary. Next time you're at a movie theater, look at all the posters and right underneath the rating. Nowadays, they tell you why, like violence, sex, etc., etc. There are some that just say, disturbing moral tone. Or for Fight Club, I remember, it was for anarchist ideas.
Yeah.
Again, rating the idea and the morals of the movie, not the content of the movie.
One thing I came across in researching today, it was Roger Ebert's critiques about the MPAA. And as much as I disagree with Roger Ebert on a lot of stuff, he had talked about how the MPAA favors violence over sex. But if there's a sex scene, it's automatically R or NC-17.
Yeah.
But they can have as much violence in there as they want, which is how you account for Transformers, for instance.
Sure.
Which is violent.
Well, I mean, violence you can present in a number of different ways. I mean, you can make it over-the-top cartoonish, which is, according to most people, not as damaging. I mean, because if you take... Josh, you probably know this. The movie that slices a woman's eye with a razor.
Oh, the Salvador Dali one?
Yes, that one.
Oh, God damn it, why'd you put that in my head? That creeps me out.
I know, it creeps me out too, but I mean, in the grand scheme of things, that is not that violent, but the fact that it's so close and personal, that's what makes it disturbing.
Well,
and as long as it's not that up close and personal, it's more palatable to a general audience. I mean, because violence you can present in a number of different ways. Sex, you can either present it trying to be sexy or trying to be funny. There's not a lot of ways you can go with that.
Look at RoboCop as a perfect example. The scene where Ed 209 malfunctions and just turns the executive into hamburger.
Yes.
Originally, if you've ever seen the X-rated cut, it just goes on and on and on. Which makes the line when the guy says, oh my god, somebody call a paramedic, so much funnier because there's nothing left of the guy's body. When you only see 4 bullets go into him, the line loses all the comedic humor, and the MPAA actually made that more violent in your head by showing you less.
Quick, check, find his neck and check his pulse.
Quick, it's over on the other side of the room. Go grab it, see if you can find a vein. But yeah, you have things like that. Or a perfect example would be Terror Firmer. We keep bringing up Lloyd Kaufman. The violence in that is so ridiculously over the top. It is like a Wile E. Coyote cartoon in real life. Like the fat guy getting caught in the escalator. Nobody could ever really think, oh my god, that's so gory. It's supposed to be a giant cartoon.
We were on Peter Jackson earlier, Brain Dead, Dead Alive.
Sure.
I originally watched the unrated version of that movie and enjoyed it. And then I happened to have rented the R-rated version once. Last quarter of that movie was so butchered I could not make sense of it.
Yeah. I mean, you take out everything that might be objectionable and it just moves by at hyper speed. Doesn't make a goddamn bit of sense.
Well, and just like on a movie watching level, King Arthur came out a few years ago, the one with Clive Owen and Keira Knightley and stuff, and it came out with a PG-13, and originally had an R-rated cut, that they wanted a PG-13, so they had to cut all the violence out of it, and they made these really weird, choppy cuts in the action scene to make it, it makes it unwatchable. If you ever watch the PG-13 cut of it, if you go back and watch the director's cut with the violence, the movie is much more watchable, it's almost enjoyable.
Well, that right there that proves that it's not gratuitous, that it's necessary.
Yeah, without it, it's disconcerting to watch. You can't really follow what's going on. It makes you kind of sick.
Well, and then not even the MPAA, but let's go back to the 70s and talk TV movies. Harlan Ellison once told a story where he was hired to write. Are you guys familiar with the Richard Speck murders?
Yes, I am.
He was
Night Stalker?
No, Richard Speck is the one that was shot all those dormitory doors up.
Oh,
no,
yeah.
They didn't even shoot him.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, he was the one that he had a thing for, like, nurses or something like that.
That was a nursing school.
Yeah. Well, Ellison was hired to write a TV movie based on the Richard Speck murders and was called The Tigers Are Loose. And they just kept sending his script back, too violent, too violent, too violent. And then the studio people would be telling him, well, he'd rewrite the script to be less violent, and they'd be telling him, well, it's now boring. He's like, this is about murder. How do you want him to murder these people with harsh language? I mean, what do you want? You want a TV movie about a psychopath that butchers people that can't have any violence in it. You know, this makes no sense.
Speaking of TV movies, I was listening to the DVD commentary on The Man with the Screaming Brain, and there's all kinds of weird guidelines just for TV movies about violence. Like, if you're going to have someone be stabbed, you can't see the knife going in, but you can show it coming out, but only if the scene is shot during the day. It just seems arbitrary to me.
Well, I think that has to do more with what specific channel. Like, if you're making it for, say, FX, where you can get away with a whole lot, the guidelines are probably a lot looser than if you're making it for the Sci-Fi Channel. Because, I mean, in all honesty, like, if you watch American Horror Story, I cannot believe some of the things that they've gotten away with in that series.
Oh, yeah. AMC recently started Breaking Bad from the beginning, and it was the second episode where they're trying to dissolve a body with acid in a bathtub, and it eats through the ceramic, and it eats through the top floor of the house, and just the hugest, bloodiest splatter I've ever seen on television.
I've noticed AMC is actually pretty good about showing the violence. They show Predator from time to time, and I've watched Predator a lot, because it's one of my favorite movies. And every time they show it, it's like, yeah, they get most of the violence in there. The shot where Blaine gets his chest blasted out, it's pretty much full on, they don't really cut from it.
That has nothing to do with AMC. When it comes to a movie, when they're buying a theatrical movie that's been cut, I know this from when I worked in TV, you have no control over it. That's what the studio sends you. And the studio sends you the version, and then you get to write off if anybody says, oh, why is this scene still here? You go, well, 20th Century Fox sent us this version, complained to them. So when you're seeing like a cut of Predator that's got a lot of violence in it, that's what 20th Century Fox sent AMC. AMC does not recut any of those movies.
AMC is not allowed to change it at all?
Usually the contract is, unless something really big happens, you know, there's a screw up, maybe, you know, the tape gets eaten and you have to resplice and you lose a few seconds, you know, barring any kind of thing like that, you're not allowed to recut the films.
You mean like if there's a school shooting in the news and AMC has a movie that has a school shooting scene in it, they can take that out?
No. What they would do in a case like that is they would send it back to, say, 20th Century Fox, Paramount, whoever, and ask them, hey, this is kind of culturally offensive right now. Would you mind recutting this film for us? And they usually will because the studios make a lot of money off TV cuts.
To get back to the rating system in general, I hate how the ratings determine the marketing of the film. That's the stigma with NC-17 and R. Right. Without that stigma, it would be a lot easier.
Well, it would be easier if theaters would just carry NC-17 movies.
Precisely. But there's no stigma against it.
But it's not, that I really don't blame on the theater. That's blamed on the newspapers and the radio stations. They're the ones that say we won't accept advertising for an NC-17 film. So say the studio or the theater does take the NC-17 film, then they can't advertise that they have this movie, so nobody's going to go see it and they're not going to make any money. So it's sort of a trickle-down effect. One person at the top makes a moral decision, everyone else has to abide by it, right or wrong.
Oh, that's why I haven't seen any advertisement for Shame.
Well, that and it looks boring as sin.
Well, but if... yeah, boy, I guess there's that.
It still doesn't look as pretentious as Sleeping Beauty, but pretentious is what pretentious does.
Yeah, what does look as pretentious as Sleeping Beauty?
If I don't know what it's about, I'm not going to see it, so.
Ratings are a guideline. They shouldn't affect the marketing. They are a guideline for parents, not for theaters. And that was the original, that's what the MPA tries to bill itself as, is, oh, it's a guideline for parents, but it affects all the marketing of the film.
Yeah.
Even worse than that, it has a trickle-down effect all the way to the creative decisions made in a film. Say the director is contractually obligated to provide an R rating. Well, then he's going to be on the set, and he's going to go, well, maybe there shouldn't be so much blood, or maybe we shouldn't show so much thrusting of the pelvis. because we're just going to have to cut it anyway. So it affects all the way back to the creative process because they know they're going to have problems with these assholes later on.
My favorite example of that was Team America. I was reading this interview with Matt Stone. He's talking about the puppet sex scene. They spent like 2 days shooting for that sex scene that they know they were going to have to cut out, but they just wanted the MPAA to have to watch it. Like, there was a golden shower. There was
that Cleveland Steamer part of it. There was
a Cleveland Steamer. There was just in that pebble sex scene.
It was on the DVD. I remember watching that scene.
Have any of you guys ever seen the 1999 TV series Action?
Oh, with Jay Moore?
Yes.
Yeah.
And this is strange.
Jay Moore, yeah.
The DVDs, unfortunately, are only uncut. I wish they had an option on there where you could watch the censored versions. Honestly, hearing the beeps makes the jokes funnier than actually hearing the swears that were beeped out. I don't know why that works like that, but it does.
Not only that, but they could...
I feel that way about Family Guy.
They couldn't even allow the audience to read lips, because if you watch Action, like, I was watching the pilot episode online the other day, and it was the TV, the Fox Network version, and whenever Jay Moore says shit or it's just a massive close-up on his eyes because they don't want anyone to be able to read his lips.
Try watching Hell's Kitchen. They always beep out Chef Ramsay's mouth. They mosaic it out when he says a swear word.
Or when they have a movie that's cut for TV, a lot of times instead of bleeping out the words, they put new words there.
Oh my god.
Like Scarface. This whole town's a chicken just waiting to be plucked.
Probably the two best ones are Lethal Weapon 4. Oh yeah? Same to you, mother father. And you guys all know which one I'm going for here, don't you, for the next one?
Is it Snakes on a Plane?
Nope.
Is it the Big Lebowski?
Big Lebowski, yes.
This is what happens when you find a stranger in the Alps?
Yes. That even sometimes goes into the plot. I think it was Cheech and Chong's next movie. It's the one where they have the space coke, and he's got that huge bag of fake cocaine in the van. I think it was next movie. Maybe it was Still Smoking.
Let's see. In next movie, Chong has the bag of laundry soap that he tells Cheech is cocaine.
Yes. Well, okay. In the version that they show on TNT and TBS, it's a bag of diamonds. The dialogue is changed to a bag of diamonds that he snorted. That is funny when you see that, or, like, you know, I brought this up on Radiodrome before, the Nightmare on Elm Street movies, when you see Freddy running around, oh yeah, get back here, you little brat.
And of course there's the Snakes on the Plane one, the line where they've changed it to, I'm tired of these monkey-loving snakes on this Monday to Friday plane.
Monday to Friday plane. So they don't even bother to show snakes on a plane on TV. The one that Doug Benson mentioned is a favorite of mine too. When you watch Kill Bill Volume 1 on TV, my name is Buck and I like to party. They didn't even try it. Like, they could have changed his name to Marty or something just to make the rhyme work.
I remember Aliens when that played on ABC. It was, we're in some real pretty stuff now, man. The only good thing about that is until the Laserdisc came out with the director's cut of Aliens, to make up for all the footage they had to cut out of the movie, they put all the deleted scenes back in. All the scenes on LV-426 and the scenes with the guns in the hallway and all that stuff was in the ABC version.
That's true. Also, if you watch Mallrats on TV, they threw in the Indian rope scene where Jane, Silent Bob were running away from the
to show Clerks, and they threw some of the deleted scenes back in.
Well, I remember when I watched when I was a kid, I would watch The Goonies every day, and it was the version that was on HBO that I taped.
So you got to see the octopus scene?
Well, up until like years later when they showed it on NBC, I had no idea what that meant because they mentioned the octopus, but when they showed it on NBC, they had extra time, so they threw that back in. I'm like, oh, there really was an octopus.
The first time I saw Aliens was on Laserdisc, so those scenes that I saw later in the non-Laserdisc cut, I was so confused at what happened to those scenes.
Which Death Wish movie was the one where Bronson breaks the guy's penis? I know that entire segment. Basically, that character does not get a death scene in the TV cut. It's like you just see him stalking that character, and then you never see that character again because there was no way they could edit around what he just did to him.
Ultimately, though, I don't think there's any cure in sight for the MPAA.
No, basically what needs to happen is, like I talked about earlier, there's some filmmaker or a group of filmmakers has to stand up to them and show them that a movie is still marketable and can still make money without going to these leeches.
And not just filmmakers, but theater owners as well. If they show NC-17 and market NC-17 movies.
Theater owners, networks, for the sake of advertising.
Well, I gotta get going, so
right.
I appreciate you guys asking me to sit in, since you guys shanked my topic.
Hey.
It's all Charlie's.
Later, Josh.
Later.
Right.
That's all the time we have for Geek Juice tonight. Remember to visit us at geekjuicemedia.com. And thank you. Have a good night.
Chemical bomb, chemical bomb. Eyes melt, skin explodes, everybody dead. It won't be long. It won't be long. People gonna run around losing their heads. A river of blood. Who's gonna live? The earth is tired of humankind, and I think